Last week, talk about in verse 18, what God called us. And today, I spend the time on the hope that we have. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you open our eyes and fill us with your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we have a deeper understanding of who you are and what you have provided for us. And help us to focus on what you're going to give it to us, and so that we be an overcomer and walk in step with the Holy Spirit, so that we be truly blessed by our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Last time I talked about God called us to the obedience that come from faith, and God called us to belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't belong to ourselves anymore because we were purchased with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, we talk about God calls to live a holy life, to be the saint, and to be holy and blameless in His sight. And that is what Paul say. And according to what Matthew say, God called us to attend the wedding supper of the Lamb in Matthew chapter 22. And then in Matthew chapter 25, Matthew said, God called us to be a wise virgin so that when He come back the second time, we have not only oil in the lamp, we also have oil in the extra jar so that we can shine for Jesus until His second coming. If I talk about Hebrew chapter 2, and God called us to go to heaven. So if we accept God's calling, let's take a look at what kind of hope that we have. In verse 18, Paul said, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you. We know that the moment we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, He gave us the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is a guarantee that we're going to receive an inheritance. But He didn't say, is that inheritance is a glorious one or just a regular one? But He said later on, in verse 18, if we respond to the God calling to live a holy and blameless life, we not only will receive an inheritance, we will receive an inheritance that's a glorious one. And how glorious it is depends how we respond to the God calling and how faithful we are. But one thing I do know, as long as you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, you will receive the inheritance. That means you will enter the millennium kingdom. And also, you will enter the new heaven and new earth. The millennium kingdom is written in Isaiah 65. Millennium kingdom is written in Ezekiel 40 to 48. You not only be able to enter the millennium kingdom in 1,000 years, and during that time, according to Matthew 19, whatever you suffer right now, the Lord will pay you back 100-fold. So we know that we're going to enter the millennium kingdom because we have the Holy Spirit within our heart, we're going to inherit the inheritance. That's what God promised to Abraham, that his offspring, according to Genesis chapter 15, they will take possession of the promised land. Take possession of the promised land, that's the inheritance we're going to get in the millennial kingdom. Because God is faithful, and God remain faithful forever. And he's faithful to all his promises. Whatever he promised you, and you can follow the teaching of the Old Testament. I remember there's one family, and he passed away. All he has is, I think, 6 or 7 daughter without a son. And then all these daughters is godly. They are very wise. They come not complaining to Moses. They ask Moses to seek for advice from God. Since my father did not have any son, are you telling me that because we are daughter, we cannot inherit the promised land that are given by God? And Moses cannot answer the question. So he seeks the Lord. The Lord say, this godly daughter is very, very wise. According to Psalm chapter 119, verse 111, because this godly daughter remember the statue of the Lord, remember the word of God. And that's why King David say, your statue are my delight. Your statue are my eternal, inheritance. And so after Moses seek the advice from God, and God give them the inheritance. Okay? So remember, brother and sister, whatever the Bible verses that the Lord spoke to you and you remember, you can use that Bible verse, use that promises to cash in. And you promise us to give us inheritance. Now, could you give us the inheritance? Because you remain faithful forever. And you remain faithful forever. That's recorded in Psalm 146. And in Psalm 145, the Lord is faithful to all his promises. Whatever he promised you, and you remember that, you go to him and claim that. You cash in, and he will give it to you. Just like this godly daughter. And it's unfair. It's because my father doesn't have a son doesn't mean that my father's name will be forgotten. Okay? So, and God say, what they say is right. So, they get the inheritance. Brother and sister, remember whatever the Bible verses give you the strength, give you the promises, you're heading in the same direction as what God promised you at the end of your life, you cash in. Okay? And how great is that inheritance depends on how much you are called to suffer to do good. I didn't mention what did God call Peter to do. Would you please turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Verse 21, to this you were called. And Peter say, we were called to suffer for doing good. And during our suffering, we endure it. We don't give up. Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, and you should follow in his step. So, brother and sister, every apostle, every prophet, know that God called each and every one of us. And whatever he called you to do, you do good, and then you can claim that promise when you see Jesus Christ. Okay? He just mentioned it to you in chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. for sure, you will receive the inheritance because you have the Holy Spirit. But if God gives you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you know him better, then you know that. How great is that inheritance? And so that's why Paul said that, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. And that hope is a glorious hope. Every time when you see the hope written in the Bible, that means you haven't received it yet. You haven't received it yet. Just like when Joseph has two dreams. And that is a glorious hope because he knows that all his brothers and relatives and all his, even including his father and mother, will bow down before him. And he knows that. That's a glorious hope. As a matter of fact, Jacob rebuked him. What kind of dream that you have? You mean even me has to bow down before you? Are you kidding me? But Jacob meditate on that promises, and eventually it's fulfilled. Brother and sister, keep on doing what the Lord called you to do. Okay? When you read the Bible, every time you see the word call or calling, circle that. And you ask God, is that what you call me to do? You ask this kind of question. If you have a confirmation, you're heading in that direction, because God called you to the obedience that come from faith. If you have, you believe in it, then for sure you're going to have a glorious hope. Just like what Paul said. If the thing that we have already received, who will hope for it? You know, you'll hope for something that you're going to get. You don't get it now. All right? Now I go on the latter part of verse 18. After talking about the glorious hope, and I talk about the glorious inheritance. First thing, God wants you to know that you may have hope to which he has called you. Second thing, number two, God wants you to know that the inheritance that you're going to receive is the glorious one. And then Paul describes it in this way. God wants you to know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. I want you to write that down in 1 Chronicles. Yesterday we talked about 1 Chronicles chapter 11 to chapter 12 regarding King David. 11 and 12 talk about the present glorious inheritance that he received. Whatever he desired, when he surrounded the Jerusalem, and then the people in the Jerusalem say, you can't take my city. But King David won that city. He make a vow to anyone. If anyone take that city on my behalf, he will be my general. And someone rise up and take the city and give it to David. And ever since then, King David changed the name, called that city of David. And later on, that is the Jerusalem. Brother and sister, when you have the Lord to be with you, whatever you think, whatever you say, the Lord gave it to you. And one day, he said, I desire to be able to drink the stream in that city. And then three strong men, hear what he say, risk their own life, get the water there. Brother and sister, you know why people willing to suffer for David? Because David willing to suffer for Jesus. When he become king, he just say it, and then the Lord fulfill his desire. I want you to write that down, Psalm 37, verse 3 and 4. If you delight the word of the Lord will fulfill the desire of your heart. You just say it out, and people give it to you. You know why people give it to you? It is the Lord who moved them to give it to you, to prove that God is with you. He won the city. Someone rise up and give him the city, and he'll win the battle. You just say it out. When he say people surrender to him and want to submit to him, I say, are you coming here for peace or for war? Say, oh, we all come for peace. Brother and sister, that is the present blessing. You get the blessing right now. You write that down. First Chronicles, chapter 11 and chapter 12. He suffered so much ever since. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, David was anointed by Samuel to be the future king of Israel. And he suffered pain for doing good. All this pain is from King Saul. He didn't kill him. He suffered. He allowed God to do his work. And he's a godly man. And God bless him. Not only the present blessing, and also the future blessing. Brother and sister, in Ezekiel, the Bible say that King David will reign in the millennial kingdom, just like Jesus Christ, for 1,000 years. And that's the kind of blessing God gave it to him. And he will have a city, a holy city, to be his palace. Okay? So for sure, in the millennial kingdom, we see Jesus Christ reign. Another person we will see is King David, because he's faithful. So his inheritance is the most glorious one. If you spend time in Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48, you know how the land was divided. Okay? The holy city is so close to the temple. And King David gonna occupy that. So brother and sister, if you are the overcomer, if you are not the loser, for sure, you not only get the inheritance, you will get the eternal inheritance. I want you to write beside the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saint. I want you to write that down, Psalm 37. And King David say, those people who are blameless, those people who are meek, those people who are humble, those people who fear the Lord, those people who do good and put their trust in the Lord, they will inherit the inheritance forever. Whereas the offspring of the wicked will be cut off, whereas the hope of the righteous will endure forever. And King David, spending 40 verses in the Psalm 37, talk about 8 times the inheritance you're going to receive. Brother and sister, if God talk it one time, you get it. Second time, for sure, you get it. Talk about 8 times. Come on. Even a blind man can remember that. A dumb man will remember. Everybody say? That's the glorious inheritance. And Paul say that this is the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saint. And that's how, if he used you to do God's word, and he's going to repay you for what you have done to him. Just like Psalm 68, verse 12. The Lord will reward each person according to what he has done. Not only in the present life, and also in the life to come. Thanks God for that. Psalm 62, verse 12. Because my God is powerful. Whatever he say, he will do it. You know what? Even King David, he said, oh, I wish to drink the stream of water from that city. People risking their life to get it for him. You understand? When he get it, he said, wow, this is blood. You know, because they risked their life, he dare not drink it. He offered to God. You know what I mean by he offered to God? I have this kind of glory, and people listen to me. It's all because of you. I give all the honor, glory back to God. Not to us, O Lord, not to us. Glory and strength giving back to the one who blessed you. You understand? If the Lord is with you, whatever you say, people will do it for you because God moved them to do it for you to prove that God is faithful. My God is a great God. He is not only strong, he is powerful, he is loving. So that's why King David said, surely God will reward each person according to what he has done. I want you to write that down. Psalm 18 talk about the same thing, verse 25 and 26. To the faithful, he remained faithful to you. To the blameless, he remained blameless to you. To the pure, he remained pure to you. To the crooked, he remains true to you. Crooked, you write down, King Saul. Faithful, you will write that down, King David. And we see in 1 Chronicle chapter 12, 1 Chronicle chapter 10, there's King Saul. Same thing. Okay, let's turn, talk about the third thing. Brother and sister, your inheritance, how riches it is, how glorious it is, you write that down. Depends, Matthew chapter 19. I turn to it. I want you to write that down. Right beside chapter 19, you write down Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18b. Where do you write it? You write it verse 27. All the way to 30. Let's hear the conversation between Peter and Jesus Christ. And Peter answered Jesus, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? In other words, I've done something for you. What are you going to do for me? And Jesus said, not only to Peter, Jesus said to all those people who can hear, I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, that is talk about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to establish the millennium kingdom, you who have followed me and will sit on the 12th throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Brother and sister, I want you to write that down. In here, it talk about the 12 throne. That means, in verse 28, Jesus said to them, is the 12 apostles. Now I want to stop here about that. You and I know that Judah betrayed Jesus, right? If he didn't betray Jesus, will he be able to sit enthroned with Jesus Christ? Will he? No. I say that one more time, Moses. If Judah did not betray Jesus and serve Jesus faithfully, okay, will he be able to sit enthroned with our Lord Jesus Christ? Because that's 12th throne. That throne is for him. He loved the earthly money. He forsake the future blessing. He lost it, right? Someone get it, okay? That's what I'm trying to say. Now, if that's the case, then Pastor John, he's not saying to all. There's only 12 throne, right? There's only 12 throne. It's only for 12 of them. What about me? I want you to write that down. Circle the them in verse. Circle the word them in verse 28 and link up to the latter part of verse 28, the 12 throne. He's talking to the 12 apostles. Brother and sister, I want you to turn to right beside them and the 12 throne. You write down Revelation. Revelation chapter 3 to those overcomer. Those people who fight a good fight for our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20 to 22. I want you to write that down. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, allow Jesus Christ to enter into your heart. I will come in and eat with him and he with me. You write that down. If you open your heart, you will attend the wedding supper of the Lamb. You write down Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 25. Secondly, verse 21, you not only be able to enter the wedding supper of the Lamb, verse 21, to him who overcome, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Verse 22 is very, very powerful. He who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, that says, including Moses, the Apostolic Bible Church of Alberta. What about the church in New York? Same thing too, right? There are churches, all other churches in Edmonton too. All other churches who are overcomer. I want to tell you one thing. Whatever the Bible says, in one portion of the scripture, I give it to you, only to him, right? But later on, you search for it, you realize not only to him, to all of us. Is he a good God? I prove that to you. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 16, because Peter know that Jesus is the Christ, and Jesus is the Son of the Almighty God. Verse 16:16, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. And then Jesus say in verse 19, I will give you the key of the kingdom of heaven. That means you can enter it and you can let people to enter into when you preach the gospel. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be loose in heaven. This one is given to Peter because he said to Peter. But later on, in verse 18, Matthew chapter 18, to 18, I tell you the truth, that you is poor. In Chinese, you see that. 我告诉你们, I tell you the truth, all of you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be loose in heaven. Brother and sister, in Matthew chapter 19, God encouraged the 12 apostles who follow him. I think it's very, very important. I think this is the kind of blessing. And God can give it to Judah. Because Judah did not betray him until Matthew, let me see what chapter, I think Matthew chapter 26, during the Lord's Supper. Yeah. And then Matthew chapter 26, and Judah going to betray Jesus. In other words, Judah despised being able to sit enthroned with Jesus Christ. He don't believe that I'm going to be one of those who can sit on one of the 12 thrones. He didn't believe in it. He didn't believe in it. That's a glorious inheritance. He did not believe in it. He did not chase after that. He did not seek for it. He chose to go another route. He chose to betray Jesus for 30 silver, only 3 months' salary. He lost the riches of glorious inheritance in the saints. Brother and sister, don't suffer this kind of loss. You got to make sure, first of all, you know that you're going to receive inheritance. But how rich it is, how glorious it is, it depends on what have you suffered for doing good. Just like what Peter said. He will pay you back. Pay you back, you write that down. First Chronicle, chapter 11 and chapter 12. That's the earthly blessing. And the future blessing, you write down. Ezekiel 40 to 48. King David going to reign for 1,000 years. You also write that down. Revelation chapter 22, the last book, the last chapter, verse 5. You're going to reign with Jesus Christ forever and ever. That Judah lost being king in the millennium kingdom and lost being king forever and ever. He lost so much, he suffered great harm. And that's exactly what Proverbs chapter 12, verse 21 said. No harm before the righteous, but for the wicked, there's few of trouble. He lost so much. It's a great loss. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? No? Well, make sure when we read Bible, we understand it. Ask God to give us the spirit of wisdom and spirit of revelation so that we know what is ahead of us. We know how to make a wise decision to be a wise virgin, to be a wise builder, to build our house not on a sinking sand, to build our house on the solid foundation, the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever he say, so help me God to do it. And let's talk about the third part. What's the third part? In verse 19. The third point in verse 19, Ephesians chapter 1. And right beside and, you know, this is number 3. Okay? I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know, number 1, the glorious hope that he has called you. He called you to receive this kind of glorious hope. And Peter say, that is what Peter say, how Peter described that glorious hope. And Peter described, it's the living hope. Chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Last week, I went to New York. The place that I used to stay when I go to New York, a few years ago, and the owner tell me that that house is, I think, 30, 40 years old. He just changed the new roof. It costing them $10,000. But brother and sister, even though you live a very brand new, beautiful house, after 40 years later, do you need to maintain it? You need that. But Peter say, it will not spoil. No maintenance, trouble-free. That's the kind of inheritance we're looking forward to. The earthly one, even though you just like you bought a brand new car, next year is 1 year old. It's an old car. Need a lot of maintenance. No one can guarantee you. Only give you 3-year warranty. Bumper to bumper.
5-year powertrain. After that, you're on your own. Okay, yeah, you can buy extended warranty. But only up to 7 years or 10 years. Not forever. Who can guarantee you forever? You understand what I'm trying to say? Brother and sister, let hear what Peter say. The inheritance that you're going to receive can never perish, spoil, or fade, and now kept in heaven for you. Kept in heaven for you, that means you haven't received it yet. There's a living hope. There's a glorious hope. And for sure you're going to receive it. And I know, and I was so encouraged when I preached the word in 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and 12, how God blessed King David. When King David says something, a lot of people just rush to do it for him. Why? Because God is with him. And people know that if I do it for King David, I do it for Jesus Christ. And they're willing to do it. And they know that God is with him. Brother and sister, I pray that we get this kind of earthly blessing, and then we give glory, honor back to our Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray that we all get eternal blessing. Psalm 119, verse 111. Your statute are my eternal inheritance. That's why your servant delight in it. But if you delight in it, right beside you delight in it, delight in the word of God, in his statue, you write down Psalm 37, verse 4. He fulfilled the desire of your heart. And then you write down 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 12. Every time when King David spoke, things came to be. Why? Because God is with him. Just like Psalm 33, verse 9. When God spoke, it came to be. When he commanded, it stood firm. Why? Because God is with him. God bless him. These are the kind of blessing we all want to receive. Everybody say, amen. Now I talk about the third blessing. Verse 19. You write number 3. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. As long as we believe in his promise, we believe in his word, if we do something about that, he will show you his great power. That power is incomparable. You cannot compare any worldly power with this kind of power. And that power is great power. You write that down. You know why this power is great power? Because God is powerful. Psalm 62, verse 11. My God is powerful. My Lord is loving. And he surely, certainly, definitely, completely, thoroughly, he will reward each person according to what he has done. You can count on that. You can cast into that Bible verse. You say, Lord, is that what you promised me? And I pray that you're going to do it. You write that down. As the English one, you have that. Psalm 145, verse 13. The Lord is loving, trust all he has made. The Lord is faithful to all his promises. And Psalm 146, I think it was 9, something like that. The Lord remained faithful forever. Even though you forget his promises, but he won't forget what he promised you. Where does it say? Psalm 105, verse 8. The Lord remember all his covenant, all his promises to you. You forget, but he won't forget. He said, I promise you, I give it to you. So go back. The third one. That power is incomparably great power for us who believe. Brother and sister, why he give you great power? Because he give you a glorious hope. He give you a glorious inheritance. He wants you to get it. He give you a glorious great power to you so that you can execute and do it. I want you to right beside incomparably great power. That great power is the power of the Holy Spirit. So I call that the mighty work of the Holy Spirit. Make sure you have the Holy Spirit within your heart and fill your heart. And fill your heart. Because God did not expect us to receive this kind of glorious blessing through our own strength. I want you to write that down. Three Bible verses. Galatians 3:3, Galatians 5:24, and 5:25. How stupid we are. How foolish we are. If God help us to enter into his kingdom, is God expecting us, we using our own strength to accomplish it? No. He's going to help you. He's going to help you to the end. He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you to the end. He expects us to focus on him, believe in him, and then his incomparably great power will fall upon you. King David being able to live a godly life because he was surrounded by all these godly people. He can recognize some are wicked, some are godly. He takes the good advice. Okay? Father and sister, make sure you are surrounded yourself with godly people. And when you believe in God's word, and God give you incomparably great power, so that you will receive the glorious inheritance. It's very, very rich. And so that you will have a glorious hope, living hope, for you're going to get it. Because he gives you the Holy Spirit to finish it. I want you to write that down right beside this. You write down chapter 4, verse 34. The one God sent will preach the very word of God. For God going to fill him with unlimited Holy Spirit. God going to fill you with his Holy Spirit. When he calls you, he gives you the Holy Spirit and he gives you great power to finish the task. But not your task, his task, his work. God called King David in Psalm chapter 78 to be the shepherd of God's people. And he shepherded them with God's power. And he finished his task. And God rewarded him. God began the good work with the Holy Spirit. And God ended his good work with the Holy Spirit. I strongly believe in that. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Whatever I command you to do, you command them to do the same thing that I commanded you to do. Lo and behold, and I will be with you to the end of the world. That means God's power will be with you until the end of your task. He won't leave you alone. When you feel burdened and troublesome, when you feel weary, remember that, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, come to me and I will give you rest. Learn from me, for my yoke, for I am gentle and humble. Learn from me and take my yoke and carry my yoke and do it. And you will find rest. For I overcome the world. Make sure when we are weary and burdensome, come to Jesus. Ask for strength. Because that power is incomparably great power. Only with those who believe. I believe in it. I claim their promises, and you will get it. And then let's talk about what kind of power is that. That kind of power is how God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's a great power. Even his believer who see that he was crucified on the cross, no way he will be resurrected because all the blood coming out already. But that great power, that's the power, almighty power of the Holy Spirit, enter into Jesus' body, and he was resurrected. Not only resurrected, during that 40 days, he was so filled with the Holy Spirit to proclaim the kingdom of God, the millennium kingdom. And after that, God using the mighty power of the Holy Spirit to not only raise Jesus Christ from the dead, to lift him up just like rocket, in front of all his followers, he rise to the third heaven. That is a great power. Our Heavenly Father, we heard what you have said to us. You want us to do your work, your task, not our work, not our task, your kingdom, not our kingdom. Because using that power to raise Jesus Christ from the dead, and then you seated Jesus Christ at the right hand in the heavenly realm. That kind of power is far above all rule and authority, far above all power and dominion. That power is overcome all kind of title that can be given, not only in the present age to come, but also in the one to come. That's why Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, all power has been given unto me. Go and make disciple of all nations. Make disciple of all nations. That is the task that you left behind for all those followers. All those people going to receive a glorious hope, a living hope, glorious inheritance, the riches of your inheritance. Lord, we want to use your power to accomplish your task and to finish it, and then we can get reward from you. Hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. And I pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.